Today on Real Life Radio.
When I'm dead, when we're gone, what will we leave the next generation who worships here? Debt? A bad reputation? Or will we pass on to them the torch to passionately seek Jesus, to counsel with him before you do anything, to grieve not the Holy Spirit, and once having done that, go out of this place and live your life?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 5. Time has a way of changing things and changing people. Time certainly has a way of affecting the church, but what happens when the church no longer has influence? Like the church in the ancient city of Sardis, a lot of churches today have a warm and comfortable feel to them. They've been around a very long time, but have lost their effectiveness for the kingdom of God. The risk of not caring about what matters to God runs high when a church grows comfortable and stagnant. What used to work at one time might not be what God is doing or saying right now, and the church needs to listen. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a church needs to be where the Spirit of the Lord is moving, totally dependent upon God and not resting on its reputation. When the Holy Spirit is no longer the church's source of power, the church will become sickly, covering themselves up with the white robes of an empty religion. And now in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says in verses 1 and 2, I know your works, that you have a name that is alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works complete or perfect before God. Church, listen to this, like a passionate surgeon. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen surgeries. I've had a chance to be in and on surgeries. And it's a very, very interesting thing, because when a surgeon is cutting on a patient who he only knows that person as a patient, and maybe some of you are surgeons, music's playing, everybody's in there. I don't know if you know that or not, but it depends on the doctor that's in charge. They have rock and roll playing, Rolling Stones, or they can have Andre Bocelli playing, or praise songs. I mean, it's pretty wild in there. And they're moving people around and things. And a lot of course, they're doing their job. They're working hard. But you know what? It's kind of like conveyor belt. Like, who's next? Okay. Spleen, next. Heart, next. And do you know who the worst patients are when they get sick? Doctors. You want to know why? They know what goes on. They know what can go wrong. It scares them to death. You want to see a doctor freak out? Watch him get sick. Jesus is the great physician. And he comes to the church at Sardis, the body at Sardis, and he takes his blade, which is the word of his mouth, the sword of the Spirit, and he cuts that church's belly wide open. And he takes a look inside, and it is so cancerous, it is so sick, it is so blackened and emaciated that he just stitches it right back up. Nothing can be done. He says nothing good from this moment on to this church. Nothing good. And you say, I can't believe that. Watch out. Christianity has no grandchildren. And a church that's alive never turns into a coffin. Some churches have become mausoleums. You whisper when you walk in them. You want to know a little secret? If you care, doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you anyway. You notice how there's no carpet in the foyer? You ever thought about that? You ever think about, how come they put, they should have put carpet in here. No way. You want to know why there's no carpet in there? I wanted that foyer as loud as possible. Yeah, the guy said, well, you know, the noise is going to come in and affect the service. And what if happens if somebody is talking out there during the next service? Let it happen. I wanted that room big and that floor tiled because I want to hear all those voices fellowshipping in between services. It sounds like a waterfall going on. I love it. You know what? Doesn't sound like a coffin. May it never sound like a coffin in here. I read in a book, a man who taught on this message in the church at Sardis, and he was afraid, like I am this morning, of not getting the point across to the people, to be alive and to be careful not to be a dead church. And so he had a great idea. I wish I would have had this idea. He went and got a coffin. And he did his normal service, and everybody was sitting out there wondering, what's with the coffin? I mean, they usually clear that thing out by Sunday morning. And he came to the end of his message about a dead church. And he said, you know, I'm not going to say anything about the member that's before us here, this coffin, but if you care, why don't you pass by? Well, you know how you get someone. that's how you get somebody hooked, you know, give them just enough. Well, you know, this member of the church here, laying here, we'll open it up after service. If you care, you can come by. Well, people are snoopy enough to say, well, I need to know who died, you know, who died. And that pastor was brilliant. They walked by and he put a mirror. He put a mirror in that coffin. And you should have seen, he writes about the dirty looks he got from people. I wish I would have thought of that. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Spirit controlling your Christianity and your life, and if you're not dependent upon the Holy Spirit, you might as well just go sleep in a coffin as a church. Oh, you can have all the money in the world. In fact, you can, as Jesus warns here, you can have a name that you're alive. Look, I have no name in my head, particularly sticking out in my head. But just think for a moment. We live in Southern California. There are a bazillion churches. And some of them have big names. That can be a good thing or a bad thing. Wake up. What goes in and on among such things? Just because it's big doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's walking in the Spirit. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's successful to God. Jesus said in the last days before he returns, the church is going to grow up into what is like a big tree. But the birds of the air will lodge in its branches. That's a bad thing. Listen, Jesus says, you have a reputation that you're alive. That means everyone knew that they were the church. So again, I'm not naming, and I'm honestly not naming any church, but I'm thinking, what are the big churches in Chicago or Florida or California or Hong Kong or Russia? I don't care where in the world. Listen, is it walking and is it exhibiting the power of the Holy Spirit? Maybe it got big by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. Where Jesus preached, there were crowds. When he was moving, people came. But you know what? Church can be like a big train. Like I've told you before, you get on a track, you power that baby up, and it's got so much weight and so much power behind that train that you can cut the engine off on that train. And that train will continue to go 80 miles an hour for like 30 miles, they tell us, you know, to just keep going, even though there's no more power to the wheels, because it's moving off of old time, ancient inertia. And my, look at the church we've built, someone might say. And all the people, watch out. Are you running off inertia? Is the Spirit of God moving there? We have a name. Everybody around the world knows our name. The Church of Sardis could have said, we've got radio programs. We've got internet programs. We've got mission outreaches. We've got community outreaches. We've got this and that. We've got a name. Jesus says, I don't care. See, we begin to look like that and say, man, I'm going to go to that church. Look at it. Oh, it's right alongside the freeway. And look how wide it is. I mean, it's on a day like this with the sun shining. I mean, this building's as wide as those clouds hanging in the sky. Oh, let's just go there. We've got to watch out. Be careful. Hey, I want you and I to go where the Holy Spirit's moving. Did you hear what I said? I want you and I to go to where the Holy Spirit's moving. I cherish the words. About a year and a half ago, Pastor Chuck Smith turned to me personally, privately, and said, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, I want you to make sure that your church is there. And he had his finger pointed at me. I love that. I want to be where the Spirit's moving. And I'm not talking about goosebumps and jumping up and down, floating around. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. It's going to be exhibited first in the love of God's people and the love of His Word and dependence upon His Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray that this is the will of the Lord, how we conduct it. It's a sensitive thing with me. We give the Christians opportunity to tithe in our morning services. Have you noticed that they don't announce it? All right, hey, we're going to bring, okay, reach deep, grab it, pass it again. Let's play another song. Woo, pass the plate. We don't even bring it up. We've been accused of hiding it. And if you're not a Christian, don't give. And if this is not your home church, don't give. Why? Because we want to be dependent upon God. He did this. For those of you who are visiting, ask those who have been here for a little while. Have we ever, in the 11 years or 12 years of our existence, have you seen a thermometer? Have we had a building program? Come on now, come on, come on. Oh man, this month, our goal for this month is to get that. No, we missed it by 20,000. Oh. Look, if we can't pay our bills, I'll quit. I'll leave. Because God is going to bring somebody who can bring people in, I guess, that can. But I take it personal. As long as I'm alive, we will never ask you to belly up to the bar, so to speak, and cough up the cash. The day that that happens is an announcement the Holy Spirit long since left. Because found in chapter 1, verse 1 of Chuck Smith is where God provides, God guides. You know, when God guides, God provides. That's a great saying, and it's true. When we lose the power of the Holy Spirit, we are in deep trouble. And church, we're going to end with just few considerations here. You know what? When a church begins to die, Jesus says things like this. You have a name that you're alive, but in reality, you're dead. Jesus, the one with his incredible eyes of fire, looks in and says, I know exactly how the money of this church is spent. I know exactly how much time is spent in prayer. I know exactly, as Jesus looks with his fiery, piercing eyes to the church at Sardis and into our hearts as well, I know exactly where your priorities are as a Christian and as a church and as a pastor. I know exactly what you really think, Jack, about seeking me with all of your heart. I'm not fooling him. Are we hot for God or are we not? Peter said in his epistle, let us have fervent hearts. The word is hearts ablaze, hearts on fire for God. When a church begins to die, its source of power is gone. There's no longer that passion because the Spirit is gone. It's as though the mantle has been lifted from a man and instead of placed upon another, it falls on the threshold of a door. And the church dies. He gives four scathing diagnoses here. When he says in verse 1, I know your works that you have a name that are alive but are dead. Look, number one problem, circle it. It's you. The word you. You. Me, myself, and I. That's my problem. I'm a majority. Jesus says to the church at Sardis, you. He says, you have a name. Meaning that's all that you've been concerned about. Getting your name out there. Oh, look at the name. We're Sardis. It was on everything. You can go to the Costco on that day. They had the Book of Sardis and how to become a successful church in 4 easy weeks. I get these things in the mail. I've told you before. If you sign up, come to this conference, it's only $4,000. In just 3 days, we'll have speakers speak to you, pastors, and when they're done with you, you'll be able to go back home to your church and you'll see a 10% increase in your church attendance within a year. I love getting that stuff in the mail. Number one, I love not giving people my money. Number two, I'm not going to take an airplane ride to sit down and hear people tell me why, in giving them money and learning their plan that all the churches throughout all the last 2,000 years somehow missed. They missed it. And the church will grow annually by 10%. The attendance will grow by 10%. And thank God, I scratch my head and I think, you know what? Thank you, Lord God, that I don't have to take an airplane ride and give up all that kind of money and sit through those boring sessions of motivational speakers in the Christian church. And why in the world would I limit the growth of this church to 10% a year? I mean, come on. It's crazy. We should write them back. Hey, dear Mr. Whatever, buy your own ticket. Come over here. We won't charge you a dime, and you can see what God's doing for free. That very thing is true. But if we do like Sardis, we'll go around and boast about it, and then we'll create the seminars. And what I just excited myself and you about can become our curse. We can say, come for free. We'll pay your ticket. Come for free. We'll put on a show and we'll have you see how we did it. If it's not the Holy Spirit, it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. And it will burn in the end. The church will begin to err, and the church will go into the final throes of its hour. And it's a very sad thing. And it's a tragic thing. Because Jesus pleads with them. You can almost hear his voice when he says, strengthen the things that remain, things that are ready to die. Jesus always gives hope. Even in the message of this, as he denounces this church, he has always given hope. I love the very nature of our Jesus. You ever find him in the Bible when you're reading? Him going through a graveyard or whatever? Have you ever seen what happens? You ever seen him at a funeral service? He messes it up every time. Leave it up to Jesus to mess up a funeral service. Everyone's crying. Oh, we're going to miss him. We can't believe he's dead. Jesus walks by, touches him. The guy gets up and restores the dead man back to his family or the dead child back to his mother. He always ruins a perfectly good funeral. Oh, he always gives hope. He's saying in the church of Sardis, out of the masses, there are a few, and we'll look at this closely next week, especially about those whose names are written in the book. And can your name be blotted out of the book? He'll say, there's a few of you. There's a few of you who have not defiled your garments. Can you imagine in a church, Jesus saying, as a gentleman that he is, Jack, can you excuse me for a moment? May I have the pulpit, please? Lord, this is your pulpit. Thank you. I would like to say that I am he who has the eyes of a flame of fire, whose feet are as bright and polished as fine brass refined in the fire. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who is to come, the Almighty. I am the one who holds the seven stars in his hands. You have persevered, and you have been careful and faithful with what I've given you. And for that I have blessed you and given many things to you. I have set you in a place that all can see when you gather. I've brought people into the walls, and I filled your hallways and your courtyards with the laughter of children and the sound of fountains. I am the living water. But I have this against you. And he would begin to say something about us. Because there's no church exempt from his letters. None. And if you think you are as a Christian, if I think I am as a Christian, then I'm already dead. I'm not hearing him anymore. You see, if our lives are so fine, they're so fine. Our lives are so fine. We don't have to go to prayer meetings anymore. I'm saved. So why should I go out and tell somebody down the street how to find Jesus? I'm fine. Got a home on the hill, healthy family, fence around the house, dog, view, clothes. I'm fine. I would even say praise the Lord. Jesus could say, you know, you have a name that you're alive. But I know it goes on, and I say you're dead. You say, well, Jack, Jesus would never say that to us or to me or to you. I want to make sure that he never says that to me. I have some input from what flows from this pulpit to your ears, just some. The rest is up to you. Will you heed him? Will I heed him? And if Jesus doesn't return soon, where will this church be in 23 years from today? 17 years from now? Where will this church be 56 years from now? When I'm dead, when we're gone, what will we leave the next generation who worships here? Debt? A bad reputation? Or will we pass on to them the torch to passionately seek Jesus, to counsel with him before you do anything? To grieve not the Holy Spirit, but to rely upon him for your strength. And once having done that, go out of this place and live your life so that men and women will look and see your life and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May God spare us from ever becoming a church like the church at Sardis.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called What Kind of Church Are You? Part 5. Thanks for joining us today. You know, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 5 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, in studio with me. I love every chance we get together, by the way. I have to know about our book of the month. Tell me about Turnaround at Home.
Turnaround at Home is a book that was, and we're grateful. Yeah. We're grateful for the publishers, David C. Cook Publishing, and Turnaround at Home. Lisa and I authored this together, and so here's the fun thing about it. Lisa grew up in a very, very strict Christian home. It was born-again Christian house.
Yeah.
The family preached the gospel, believed in the gospel, but it was very legalistic.
Right.
Okay, I grew up in a non-religious, non-Christian home. And so the book talks about both of our journeys because kind of our lives are bookends for people. She was religious and strict, and I was be home before midnight.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad saying to me, if you get a girl pregnant or if you get drunk and break the, you know, blow up the city, you better hope I never hear about it. Well, that's not good either. So because of Jesus taking over our lives, we were able to write this book. It's technically Turnaround at Home, leaving a spiritual legacy that's stronger than the one that you received. That's the subtitle.
Love it.
And that's what it's really all about.
And that's our book of the month.
It is the book of the month. One thing we want to make sure that everybody knows, Davey, is that our book of the month, I say our, all books of the month, if somebody reads the book and they're not blessed in any way, shape, or form from any of these books of the month, they get their money back.
Yeah. Nothing
I mean,
to it.
I mean, we'd like to get the book back.
Sure.
But they could, I mean, we're not, we may be ugly, but we're not dumb, you know, but that's how much we believe in what we're announcing.
And this is the book of the month for January, Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.